Good morning again. Do what? Oh, okay. I'm excited. For the past 9 weeks, we've been studying Living with Courage. This is our last week in this book. It's the 10th. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 today. So if you will, turn there. This is Paul's last epistle that he wrote, and he wrote it to Timothy. Timothy was supposedly kind of a shy person, so God is trying to encourage him as he pastors the church in Ephesus. And he's a young man, and Paul's telling him, you're going to meet a lot of challenges, and you need to be ready, you need to be prepared. And so this is his encouragement to him this morning. Let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. We live in a world today that can be very fearful if we're not careful, if we let it get to us. There are wars, rumors of wars, economic problems, all kind of things going on in our country too. So we're living today in a divided country, a country that needs much prayer. But you know, we that know the Lord, once we're saved, we don't have to fear. We don't have to have fear. That verse 7 in our text there, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That tells us we can face anything that comes to us with confidence because we don't have to fear. We've got the Lord. And all we have to do when we come upon situations and trials and tribulation, give it to the Lord. Don't try to always figure it out, why, how, what can I do? First and foremost, give it to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your wisdom. And that right there resolves 90% of our problem. Courageous living means that we're not bound by our fears and that we do not allow them to dictate our behavior. As I said, this is Paul's epistle. And Timothy's going to face some problems, just like we face problems. I'm thankful that I'm saved and that the Lord has given me things to do for him. I'm very thankful that he didn't call me to be a preacher, to be a pastor. Wow, what a responsibility. The things that come up that pastors have to deal with. I often told my Sunday school class of young people, when you think of what our pastor faces from day to day, from week to week, think about this. Think about your little bubble that you live in. And then multiply that times about 600. And that's what our pastor deals with every week. That's why we need to pray for him. Every opportunity, every time the Holy Spirit brings him to mind, we need to pray for him, his family. Because that's where Satan wants to attack. He needs our prayers. We need to be praying for him. So we can live in confidence that God's going to be in control and things are going to turn out the way he wants them to. But as our pastor goes through his daily life, he's just bombarded. Satan, do you think Satan bombards us sometimes? Sometimes something happens and we say, man, this happened now, this is happening. It just seems like the hits keep on coming. Well, that's what the pastor deals with. But we can live a courageous life as Christians. In this study, we're going to look at, there's three main points. You don't have an outline this morning, so you just have to trust me, okay? The first point is because of our calling, we can live a courageous life. Second point, because of our commission. And thirdly, because of our confidence. And we're going to take just a few minutes and take each point. Point number one, we can live a courageous life because of our calling. God has a work for every one of his children to do. Don't just gloss over that. Everyone. It's not just pastor's responsibility. It's not just the staff's responsibility. God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. We need to figure out what that plan is, and then we need to fulfill it. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be serving somehow, some way, in our Christian life, in our church. I know a lot of people say, well, so-and-so does this, and they do this, and they don't need me. That's not the point. The point is, God has a purpose for our life, and we need to fulfill it. There's always something to do in our church. There's always a need. Every ministry that we have here at Worth Baptist Church needs help. We need bodies. You think of the nursery. Praise the Lord, the men don't have to serve in the nursery. Think of the bus ministry. Every single ministry. Bridge to Recovery. We need drivers. They need bus drivers, bus workers. There's always a need that can be filled, and each one of us need to be searching our hearts and God's word for what he wants us to do. Not them, not they, but me. So when we're called, we need to remember that God has given us different abilities. Everybody in here has an ability God's given to them, a gift. Most of us have different gifts, but there is a gift, and it's special. And he needs us to fulfill it. You know, one of the most important positions, I don't call them jobs, I call them positions. One of the most important positions in this church is a person who greets you at the door every Sunday. When a person comes to the front door of Worth Baptist Church, they're greeted with a smile, and they're welcomed. That's very important. Do you know that most people who come to church and people aren't friendly to them, they're not welcome, they're likely not to come back if they're looking for a church home? That's why it's so very important to be friendly, to give a smile. Sometimes people just need a little encouragement, a little smile, sometimes a holy hug. I emphasize holy hug, okay? But we have a calling, and it's a calling with the Lord. The heart of our confidence is in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The moment we get saved, the very moment we get saved, we have a relationship with Jesus that can never, ever be broken. Not by anybody or anything or any circumstance. And that's very important. We can lose fellowship after we're saved if we fall into sin. But that fellowship can be restored according to God's word. But we need to remember, we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's very important. And we don't need to just, you know, belittle it. That's the most important relationship we'll ever have. If we're married, our husband, wife, our children. But they're still not as important as our relationship with the Lord. We can be confident that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always be there for us in every situation. Why? Because of who he is. 2 Timothy, in verse 8 there, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." We live in a society that's rejecting God at this time. Our country is, unfortunately, on the downhill run when it comes to the relationship with God. There are always people who are going to be naysayers. There are always going to be people who want to ridicule those that are Christians. And we see it more and more. started a long time ago with taking prayer out of schools, and it's kind of gone downhill ever since. But Paul's telling Timothy here, he said, you can be a bold witness for Christ. Have you ever been embarrassed or maybe ashamed when you pass up an opportunity to witness? Boy, I have. Most of the time at the end of the day, I ask the Lord to point out to me anything I did that was not pleasing to him or any opportunities that I passed up to witness for him. And sometimes I'm really embarrassed because I pass up those opportunities. My wife is an example of somebody who doesn't pass up opportunities. I pity sometimes the people who come to our door, knocking on the door to sell something or to question, because they will not leave without hearing the gospel. That's the way we should be. In the grocery store, get in line behind my wife. I'm sorry for you. You're going to hear the gospel. That's the way we all should be. But many times I've passed up opportunities to witness for the Lord, and it's really embarrassing to me. And we should never be ashamed of our relationship with Jesus. Never. Don't back up. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid to witness. Christ is our all in all. In John 15, 4 and 5, that's two of my favorite verses. He says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. We have to allow the Lord to lead us. He gave us his Holy Spirit for a purpose, to guide us and direct us. The moment we're saved, he moves in. He resides within us. So we can always have the proper response, the proper attitude, if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in our daily lives. Sometimes it's easy to say, but it's not so easy to do, is it? We can also be confident that we can be courageous in our Christian life because of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, to some people, doctrine is something that's hard to understand, but it's really not. It's basically just a set of beliefs. That's what we believe, our doctrine here at West Baptist Church. You can go to our website, and there will be a list of what we believe, how we're supposed to live, what we think God wants us to do in our Christian life. Paul mentions several basic doctrinal convictions in our verses 9 and 10. Look at those. It says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus saved us. That's past tense. If you've asked the Lord to save you, that's already happened, okay? That's in the past, but nothing present or future can change that. Satan cannot touch our soul. We need to remember that when we get in a tough situation. All he can do is cause us to turn away from the Lord, to begin to backslide. But he can't touch our soul, and that's doctrine. We're called into holiness, that second part of that verse. God is a call for each Christian, and his plan doesn't stop at salvation. Rather, it actually begins. The implementation begins. If you were to say, this is where I was born, and this is where I'm going to die, if we go along life and nothing changes, we're going to die and spend an eternity in hell. But if there comes a point during that time, we accept Jesus as our Savior. For me, that happened at 25. Then our lives should change. Our trajectory should change. It should begin to be like this, to move toward our heavenly reunion with Jesus. We're supposed to be growing constantly. not standing still. We can come to church. We can be in church every opportunity and be nothing but sitters and soakers, soaking up the preaching, loving the preaching and the teaching, and then walk out the doors and not do anything with it. Knowledge without action is just futile. So we need to put to work what we learn. And it doesn't change our salvation. If you've accepted Christ, you're going to heaven. But oh, how much the Lord wants to bless us during the time that we still have left. Our whole thrust should be telling others about Jesus and about doing our best to become more like Him every single day. That takes time. It takes spending time in studying God's Word. That's why it's so important to teach God's Word, to preach God's Word, but to read and study it. The more we know, the easier it'll be to combat Satan in our spiritual battles with him in our daily lives. He's doing everything he can to cause us to trip up, but we don't have to. We're saved from the penalty of sin, but also, you know, we're saved from having to sin. We don't have to sin, not once we get saved. One day, thankfully, we'll be saved from the presence of sin when we get to heaven. So we're called to holiness, to do our best to live the way the Lord wants us to be. And then look at verse 10 back there. It gives us immortality. Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel? Life and immortality are ours at salvation. The moment we trust Christ as Savior, He gives us eternal life. Now, we need to be courageous because of the Lord and His testimony. But we need to be courageous and live amicably with the Lord's servants. Paul instructed Timothy not to be ashamed that he, Paul, was in jail. You know, all of us make mistakes. We deal with young women and men on Friday nights who've made many mistakes. But it's important for us to understand that in a blink of an eye, that could be us. All of us are susceptible to falling, to making mistakes, to getting out of fellowship with the Lord. And we don't need to be ashamed of that. We don't need to hold it over anybody's head. There but for the grace of God go I. That's a true statement. In the blink of an eye, it could all be changed. We can live courageously also because of the Lord's suffering. He suffered. 2 Timothy in the 8th verse, it says, "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Christ suffered for us. And we should not expect to avoid the opposition and the attacks of Satan, and even persecution. Now, living in this country, we've not had to deal with a lot of persecution. But at the rate we're going, it's just around the bend. We turn our young people into godless people by not teaching the Word of God. Like I said, it started with prayer, taken out of school. Then now you can't put the Ten Commandments anywhere you want to. Most of us, all of us are old enough to remember that when we were in school, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every day. We sang a hymn every day as I was growing up in school. You can't do that anymore. That's been taken away. The Lord suffered, and we need to understand that there might be a time when we have to truly suffer persecution. There will always be naysayers as long as there's an earth. Only when we get to heaven will that be resolved. But we need to stand firm in our faith. We need not waver. When the opportunity comes to stand, we need to take a stand. It's true that we need to choose our battles. Some things are not worth arguing about or battling over. But when it comes to trusting the Lord and standing on His Word, that's worth taking a stand for, no matter what the cost. And we need to be ready to do that. We need to be prepared to do that. Listen to this statement. Suffering for the cause of Christ is not a surprise, but it is also not a permanent condition. We may endure hardship for a time, but the day is coming when we will see Jesus and everything will change. In the meantime, we have the promises and power of God to help us endure the hardship and continue on as a faithful servant of the Lord. We need to remember that everything here on earth is temporary. That's a good thought. Pardon me. So why can we live courageously? First, it's because of the calling that we have from God. And second of all, our second point is because of our commission. We've been commissioned. Every child of God has a calling and a commission to fulfill. Remember, here we're his representatives. Jesus said, was talking to his disciples, he said, I'm going away. My mission here on earth is completed. I'm going back to heaven. I won't leave you without some help, which is when he gave us the Holy Spirit. When he gave us the Holy Spirit, that gave us the ability to understand what our calling and our commission is. Now, we know what the Great Commission is, and it's in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we've been given a commission. We are commissioned to share the gospel. That's our main thrust. Why did Jesus not take us to heaven the moment we got saved? Because he had a work for us to do, to share the gospel at every opportunity. And Paul never thought of himself as somebody special or anybody special. And we shouldn't either. But we all need to understand that God takes ordinary people like you and me, and he can and will do extraordinary things if we allow him to work through us. On our own, what does he say? Without me, you can do nothing. But with him, allowing him to work through us, we can do anything. Anything he wants us to do. And we need to understand that our commission is the same as in Matthew 28. It's not just for pastors, not just for full-time workers. If you want to get right down to it, we all should be full-time workers. That's how we should look at ourselves. Just because we don't pastor, just because we're not an associate pastor or a leader in any such group, we are all commissioned to do the work that the Lord's left us to do. And you and I have that same calling. Don't put yourself outside Matthew 28. It's a great responsibility and privilege to be able to work for God in this world. Don't take it for granted. Don't throw away the time. One of the reasons that we're saved is to be workers in God's vineyard. John 15:16 tells us, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. We're called to be fruitful servants. We're called to make an impact on the world. Do you realize that somebody is always watching you? People are always looking at us to see, if we call ourselves a Christian, they're looking at us to see how we're going to behave. How do we act? And more importantly, sometimes, how do we react to the circumstances that we have to face every day? Do we crumble? Do we walk away when it's time to stand? Do we compromise God's word? Someone is always watching. I can think of, I was privileged to serve in the bus ministry for almost 50 years. And every now and then I'll run across somebody that got saved during the time that I was either driving, or I was a driver of a bus captain, a bus mechanic. We got to do it all. But every now and then you come across somebody that says, hey, I used to ride your bus. And that's how I got saved. What if I just quit when I wanted to quit? There were several times I wanted to quit. God wouldn't let me quit. I'd say, Lord, isn't it time for me to get out of the bus ministry after 49 years? He'd say, nope, I haven't told you yet. You just keep on doing what I told you to do. When we do that, God will bless our work for him. Not looking for praise, but just fulfilling the purpose and the call of our lives. And you know, sometimes we're, as a follower of Jesus, we might have to suffer. People can be really cruel, can't they? They can ridicule you. I remember once I got saved, everybody laughed. All my friends laughed. They said, that won't take. He won't be saved very long. So we have to put up with a lot of that. People always want to ridicule, especially if you take a stand for the Lord. There's always going to be naysayers, those that are going to say, our purpose is to make sure we live what we preach, what we say. If I'm a Christian, I need to live to be a Christian. I need to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So sometimes we might have to be, sir, suffer a little bit. Our third point, we can live a courageous Christian life because of our confidence. Our confidence is in the Lord. In 2 Timothy there in verse 12, he says, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Who do we believe? We believe in Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I know what I believe. He says, I know in whom I believed. We can have perfect confidence in what Christ has done for us. Satan, I said, he can't touch our soul. We don't have to allow him to get into our life and cause us to stray. The blood of Jesus covers all our sins, past, present, and future. And so we can't be given a guilty verdict after we're saved. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us and seals us until the day we see Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We're cleansed and we're eternally children of God. That's where we stand. That's what we stand on. And we can be confident in his security. The last part of that verse 12 says, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He is able to keep that which I have committed. Have you made a commitment? Have you trusted Christ? And if so, does that commitment stand throughout all your Christian life? Are you committed to serve him? Are you committed to go the extra mile for him? Are you committed not to compromise? It's not easy being a Christian. It takes work. It takes time spent in God's word. That's where we draw our strength. That's where we draw our guidance. He has all the rules. He's in control. Yet he gives us a free will. Our free will must involve following the Holy Spirit and his guidance. If we don't do that, we're not going to be successful. We began this series 10 weeks ago recognizing that Christians today would rather be comfortable rather than courageous. That's just our fleshly nature that we still have to deal with. We got a brand new heart when we got saved, but we still got the old flesh that we battle, don't we? And we would rather be comfortable than courageous many times. There's a lot to be fearful for, but God says we don't have to fear. We have to trust in his word. Life on earth here is a life of obedience and trust. We have to trust the Lord in all phases of our life. There are a lot of things that happen to us. We know from Romans 8:28, not all things are good. God makes all things work together for good. And he does that. He lets us go through trials and things like that to make us more like Jesus. So we need to get out of our comfort zone. Are you in a comfort zone today? Are there things that we need to take to the Lord and be honest about? I like to do that old thing I told you about once before. When I'm in the mirror, washing my face, brushing my teeth, I like to ask him, Lord, when you look at me, what do you see? Point out to me if there's anything in my life that I need to change, because I want to fulfill the call and the purpose that you have for me, and I want to be courageous. We can be courageous Christians if we want to. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for this series we've had on courage, Lord. We need your courage. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance every single day. Holy Spirit, we need your prompting before we say that we don't need to say, before we think that we don't need to think. Help us, Lord, as we go through our daily lives to be everything that we possibly can be for you. You died for us. Help us to live for you. Thank you for loving us many times when we're unlovable. Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. We want to be courageous for you, but we can if we allow you to live through us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.